Lansing has had its share of criticism when it comes to its dining scene. Critics have said there's not enough to choose from or that the choices are boring. Former editorial editor at the Lansing State Journal, Mark Nixon, has been one of those critical voices in the past. He's now a contributor to the City Pulse, and he joins us here in Studio S today to discuss how he thinks the food scene in Lansing is changing. Nice to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me.
Back in 2001, you created a little bit of a stir in a column for the LSJ. You called it, "Dinner is Yawn Served." What exactly did you say in that column?
Well, first of all, I said a few things that upset people, but what was surprising, all the editorials and all the columns I had written, that one probably garnered the most reaction, both positive and negative. Some of the restaurant people were unhappy, but a lot of their customers were saying, yeah, you're right. We need a little bit more adventure in our dining scene. Mm-hmm. That was 15, 16 years ago.
And recently in a City Pulse Dining Guide column, you reflected back on that column that you wrote for the State Journal, and you wrote about how things have changed since. In those 15 years, what changes have you seen?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, I think the dining crowd is just simply more adventurous, and I think, frankly, a little more worldly. They've had been exposed to a whole bunch of different kinds of cuisines. They travel more, so they're expecting more. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I think you have a new generation of restaurant owners and chefs especially, who expect more of themselves, and they see what they do in the kitchen is more than just churning out food. They see that it is sort of an artistic expression, a creative expression.
Mm-hmm. Who on the scene impresses you right now, or that's a recent addition to the scene, let's say?
Well, I have several favorites, but probably the one that stands out to me is a place called The Cosmos. It's actually attached to a bar called Zuby's, so it's known as The Cosmos / Zuby's. It's an old town.
I was there Saturday night.
And how was it?
We did not make reservations. We went at the busiest, most crowded time, so we had to delay. We ended up going elsewhere, but can't wait to take it in.
They're like a lot of, I would call, smaller, almost, I wouldn't want to call them mom and pop places, but they're sort of like that. They're really pretty small operations, but they do some creative things. At The Cosmos, for instance, they have this bruschetta with a tomato relish and a triple cream brie. And I took one bite of that, and I just turned to my wife, and I said, France. Because I remember very distinctly having my first bite of really good cheese in France.
Okay.
It was fantastic.
Yeah. What else? What else is going on out there that impresses you?
Well, here's the thing that might surprise some people. Because people don't think of necessarily the Kellogg Center and the State Room in particular as being cutting edge, but I have to tell you that I think the people in that kitchen at the State Room are just doing wonderful things. And I think they're like some of these other places like the Cosmos. They are thinking fresh, they're thinking local, mm-hmm. and they're thinking seasonal. So, for instance, when I was at the State Room a few months ago in the wintertime, I had a parsnip apple bisque. Now, I don't know how often you've had parsnips. I haven't recently.
Every night, I'll have you know.
But the fact is, they take something as seasonal. Parsnips, it's a root vegetable. You harvest them in the fall, and you make something creative with them. It was fantastic.
Red Haven hasn't been on the landscape that awful long. It created quite a bit of stir when it opened here a few years ago. What do you make of Red Haven?
Actually, it was the first restaurant I reviewed for the City Pulse a couple of years ago, but I will tell you that this almost epitomizes what I'm talking about. Fresh, local, seasonal. In fact, I think they even have t-shirts that say that. When's the last time you had French fries tossed with an egg yolk, sprinkled with lime juice, and scattered with thyme? It was phenomenal. Mm. They do, and they're very, their specialties are small plates, at least that's been my experience, which I typically enjoy more than the big entree.
So. But what I'm hearing you say, Mark, is that you don't have to be a new establishment to become adventurous.
Absolutely.
It doesn't rule out. I mean, an older establishment might have a clientele that's accustomed to a certain thing, but that's not preventing anyone from taking risks occasionally.
Absolutely. I think a perfect example of that, in fact, I wrote in this dining guide column a while back, a perfect example of that is the nightcap. I don't know if you're familiar with the nightcap.
Well, of course, and, you know, sure.
Where all the politicians and lobbyists used to hang out. As I said a couple of years ago, I think it had lost a step, but now it has some new owners and they're trying some new things. So even though they hold on to some traditional things like oysters, Rockefeller, they're trying some new things too. Again, they're going back to the fresh, the local produce from local farms, local meats, sometimes local farms, and thinking seasonal. I mean, you see beets a lot on their menu. That's that's sort of like parsnip, you know, beets, you know.
Yeah.
But it's exciting because they toss in some marinated onions and some goat cheese, and suddenly you've got yourself a wonderful meal.
It's a tough business. A fork in the road was unable to make it. What'd you make of their demise?
I was shocked. Of course, I don't know the backstory, but I thought that they had a fantastic following. I loved them. But, you know, as you said, it's a tough business and multiple things can happen. Long time ago, I was in the restaurant business, so I kind of saw what it
you
was
were?
Like. Yeah.
What'd you do and when?
I was a server and a busboy, but that was like, you know, in the Stone Age practically. but I did see firsthand how tough it can be.
Oh.
To do this consistently and to have quality consistently. It's very, very tough.
For lots of places, it's an around-the-clock enterprise. It profit margins can be slim. I sometimes think to myself, it's a miracle we have as many restaurants as we do, because the work is so hard, it's so demanding, it's so competitive, and margins are so slim.
Yep.
It's really incredible in a way that there are as many restaurants as there are.
I think that
my own take on that, it's worth.
I agree. I think that what keeps people in the business is what we were talking about. There is a creative expression that is involved in, and I think in restaurants that really want to do something that puts their signature on it. I think that the dining crowd really respond to that.
I think a lot of the people who tend to get into the business and start to be influential tend to be younger, too. They're, by definition, bringing in new ideas into what's happening. So there's a evolution that's constantly taking place.
And there are a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them start out as these food trucks. I think Red Haven.
I wanted to ask you about that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you make of the food truck phenomenon, and do you enjoy that?
I do enjoy it. I wish I knew more about it. As I understand, and I may be wrong on this, this began on the West Coast in California and it just kind of gradually kind of moved inland. And so, maybe 5-6 years ago or so, it landed in Lansing. I think it's a great alternative to just starting with a brick and mortar. It's probably, my guess is, it's a lot cheaper to get started. But in today's Lansing State Journal, there's a story about it. Guy started another food truck in Meridian Township, and he says this is great because he says it's just me in here and I have absolute control over the food product. So sounds cool.
I'm talking with City Pulse contributor Mark Nixon about his take on the changing dining scene here in Lansing. What do you think Lansing is still missing? I mean, what would you like to see pop up?
I think what I would recommend, and as I mentioned in this recent column, I think that they ought to branch out and do some road trips, frankly, if they have the time. And I'm talking about not going to the other coasts or anything, but see what's happening in parts of Midtown Detroit, see what's happening in Grand Rapids and in Traverse City. Those have, I think, a phenomenal amount of really daring restaurants. I don't mean necessarily daring in the sense you have to be, you know, super fancy and everything, but they're using simple ingredients and putting them together in great ways. I don't know if you've heard of Selden Standard, which is a former laundromat, if I understand it, in Midtown Detroit, named by the Detroit Free Press as a restaurant of the year. And I was there about a month ago, and it's just, you know, knock my socks off.
You get out on a regular basis now that you're not the editorial page editor at the LSJ anymore?
All I have to do to turn to my wife and say road trip, and she grabs her purse and we're on the way.
Yeah.
We do this.
Nice, nice. You just returned from several weeks in Europe. What were some of your more memorable food experiences there?
I have to say the first meal I had after we had landed was actually my favorite. And get this.
Boiled, it was at the airport.
No.
Don't tell me it was better, at the airport.
No, a little better than that. It was in a walled city in southern France. But if you can imagine boiled beans, you think, oh, how boring. Well, this is the French version. It's cassoulet. And this really goes to my point about keeping food simple. It was beans. They were boiled, but they were boiled with a lot of really cool spices and probably a lot of duck fat, and then finished off at the very end with a hunk of crispy duck, and it was fantastic. Very simple, but guess what? They've spent centuries probably perfecting those kinds of dishes.
Mm-hmm. I'm reminded the mantra of Chris Johnson, who's associated with the Michigan Athletic Club as a trainer. This just pops into my head, but Chris's mantra is perfect the ordinary. Perfect the ordinary. So that's really kind of what you're referring to there. A real basic dish, but that's dressed up in an interesting way.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anthony Bourdain, the food critic, was at the Wharton Center a few years ago. I went to see him. And he said, I thought, something very profound. He said, the best cuisine is born out of necessity and poverty.
Mm. Yeah.
Very true.
I've been talking with City Pulse contributor Mark Nixon about the changing dining scene here in Lansing. Mark, welcome back home from Europe. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And coming up on Current State, we'll be chatting with Current sports host Al Martin about which MSU Spartans made their pro football dreams come true over the weekend in the NFL draft. Always fun when the Spartans and Wolverines play one another. The two competed on the diamond in a three-game set. We'll have a full recap coming up on Current State. Current State, three times daily here on 90.5 WKAR and AM 870 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore.